All right, well, this evening we're continuing our little study on soul winning, and let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. That's there in your notes also. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us, dear God, to grow in faith this year. And Lord, we know that you have already called us to be witnesses for you. Lord, help us to live up to that calling by simply trusting you by faith to do your work through us. Lord, help us this evening to learn something about preparing to go out, to be a witness, to even go door knocking. Help us, Lord, we pray, to live according to your word, so that we may be vessels used of thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we're looking at some prerequisites for the soul winner. And I wanted to start in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And we'll look at this verse again later on in a few minutes. But the Bible says in verse number 4 that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. One of the descriptions of the Christian life is that we are in a warfare. Not a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare. On Sunday night, we'll be looking at the miracle of the demoniac in the synagogue. How the Lord delivered this man, this poor man, from being demon-possessed. And we'll be reminded that we are living in a spiritual world. The devil is real, demons are real, and we are in a spiritual warfare. And the warfare is for the lost of mankind. And we are soldiers. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it comes to the military today, or being a soldier today, are soldiers just sent out to battle as soon as they enlist?
No.
Oh, there's some preparation involved. I know that's an obvious question, but there's some preparation involved. There's some training, it depends on the mission they're called to do, depending on how much training that they will need. And when it comes to being a witness also, we need to be prepared. But unlike the world's military, God's preparation for us isn't in the area of our skills necessarily, but it's in the area of our heart, our personal walk with God, our faith in the Lord. And so tonight we're going to look at some prerequisites, some requirements for the soul winner. Not necessarily skills that we need. Sometimes we think, well, I need to go through a few years of intense study in order to be a witness. That's not true. The Lord said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And when people got saved in the book of Acts, you'll see it for yourself as you read through, they went and told someone else. And that's how the gospel went out. They went out gossiping the gospel, if you will. That's something good to gossip about, the gospel. And so if you have been saved, you have plenty to share with someone. And you have the word of God. But there are some prerequisites to prepare our hearts. Because if we have our heart right with the Lord, well, then the Lord can use us. Amen? So last week we looked at a few things. Tonight we're going to look at a few more. Notice there in Roman numeral number 1. And this is the main prerequisite for soul winning. Amen? The helmet of salvation. There in your notes, your blank is the word salvation. If you miss any, they're on the bottom at the back. Salvation. If the Lord is going to use us to be witnesses, if we are going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, brethren, we need to be sure about our salvation. That's why the Bible describes the part of the spiritual armor that relates to our salvation as the helmet. Now, you can receive a blow to the chest and still survive, or the legs, or the arms, but if you receive a blow to the head, you're in big trouble. Isn't that right? So the most important piece of armor that we need to be sure of is the helmet. The helmet of salvation. Now, I know it sounds obvious, but the Lord can't use us to be a witness if we're doubting our salvation. Sometimes it's because we are not growing. So we start to doubt. We live not by faith, but by feelings. And I've doubted my salvation before. And many of us have. And sometimes the reason is as simple as this. We're just not reading our Bible. We're not growing. We're not in church. We're not learning about the truths of God, how sure our salvation is. And we start to doubt. And if we doubt our salvation, it's like going out to battle without a helmet on. It doesn't matter what other weaponry you have. If you don't have your helmet on, okay, you'll be in big trouble. And you can't witness to someone if you yourself aren't sure. So let me encourage you, if you doubt, come and see me. Come and see someone in church. Be encouraged in that area. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the helmet of salvation, we need to be sure. Okay, Roman numeral number 2, a proper life's goal. Your blank is the word goal, G-O-A-L. Let's read the verse together, Matthew 6:33, on 2, 1, 2. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So our goal ought to be God. God is our goal. And he said, if you want to live the Christian life, you need to have a proper life's goal. What is your goal tonight in life? Is it to follow God, do God's will and please God and serve the Lord? Or do we have our own goals? Now, we do have goals, obviously. But if the Lord is going to use us as a witness, we need to have the right priorities. Amen? We need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that is a promise to claim by faith. Do we really believe by sacrificing our time at certain outreach times that if I miss out on work during that time, that God will make up the difference miraculously, that he'll still provide for my needs? Do we really believe by faith that he will if we seek him first? Well, he promises he will. Food, clothing, and shelter, the basic necessities. If we seek him first. Many times, unfortunately, we live in unbelief. That's why we don't put God first. We put him second. We put him last. Because we just don't believe if we put him first, anything good's going to come out of it. But God says it's the other way around. You know, we need to live as a witness. Amen? If that means we're finishing work and we need to get home by 5, but there's the cleaner, as I've experienced at work, and then she's there and you say hello and you give her an invitation and she wants to talk, she wants to know more. And you think to yourself, well, I've worked all day, I deserve to go home and I'm a bit tired right now and I've got responsibilities and how am I going to get everything done before the evening? And yet there's this person who wants to know more. Now, I believe that as we do what the Lord wants, he'll take care of the rest. Amen? That's what he says. So if we seek him first, we put him first in our witnessing, we have his promise. And we need to claim that by faith. Claim that by faith. So soul winning is giving value to what God values in life. Amen? This is what he wants us to value. All right, Roman numeral number 3, personal separation. Personal separation. We've already read 2 Timothy 2:4, but notice it says if we want to war a good warfare, we need to not be entangled. Now get that picture in your mind of being entangled. Imagine a soldier who is tied down, tied up, can't fight anymore, is disabled, taken prisoner, if you will. And that's the picture we receive, entangled by the affairs of this life. What is the affairs of this life? Well, it's the things of the world. It's the opposite to what we looked at, a proper life's goal, seeking God first. It's the things of this world. If that's what consumes us, our passions, our desires, then God can't use us. If our passions are worldly, you know, if we get excited every time we go to the movies, but we don't want to come soul winning, we've got some issues. Amen? We're entangled with the world. What do we expect God to do when we hand out an invitation because we feel guilty that we're not witnessing? Do we really think God's going to use us? Amen? Well, these are some prerequisites. Do we really want God to use us to win souls? Well, then we need to get excited about what God gets excited about. And we need to be not entangled with the world and with the world's desires and thoughts and music, just consuming our passions, our lusts, and that's what we love. Now we need to get consumed with God. Amen? And the world is there. I understand. I'm in it. Amen? There's temptations everywhere. There's opportunities everywhere. But, you know, there are opportunities to watch the TV, but then there's opportunities to visit someone, to witness to them. We've got to make a choice. What are we going to do with our lives? Don't be entangled by the world. Personal separation is a hindrance to our testimony. We may not realize it, but when we're in the world can see it. We might be blind to it, but the world can see it. And they sit back wondering, are you really a Christian? Look at that invitation, then they look at us. That's not how it should be. Amen? We should be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in our speech, our attitudes, our desires, personal separation. Then Roman numeral number 4, these are just some issues of the heart. We need to put no confidence in the flesh. Need to put no confidence in the flesh. So your blank is the word flesh. 2 Corinthians 1:9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. So we know, and when we talked about this on Sunday night, we know that how little we had to do with our salvation. Amen? God drew us. It was a miracle of God. In fact, the faith that you had in God, guess what? God put it there. Amen? Amen? Yeah. That's how dead we were in our sins. You thought, well, I put my... No. Yes, you said yes to His offer of salvation. But that's not a work. That's nothing to boast in. Amen? The Lord did the miracle. He created faith in us. And now, as we seek to serve Him, likewise, we need to put no confidence in our flesh. No confidence in our flesh. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Now as we live for God, we are to put our confidence in Him. He did the miraculous to save us. Amen? And He will do the miraculous to use us. Don't worry about your lack of ability and what you think you have or you know you don't know. If God is drawing someone to Himself, you know enough to, as a Christian, to tell them what they need to know to be saved. Amen? Because if you don't know what someone else needs to know to be saved, then how did we get saved? What did we need to believe? I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Christ died for our sins. He rose again on the third day. We repent. We put our faith in Him. We are forgiven. Once and for all. And some scriptures to go along with that. We'll talk about that in a few lessons again, just some practical helps. But brethren, we can't put confidence in the flesh. In fact, that's a bad thing. That's a negative. That's a no-no. That's me trying to witness in my own strength, using my own intellect, using my own abilities. It's God that draws the sinner, convicts the sinner, regenerates the sinner. And God just wants us to be surrendered vessels that have a grain of mustard seed of faith, that believes, hey, God can use me. Amen? That's why I'm here. Praise the Lord. Here's a statement. God does not need a soul winner's help. A soul winner needs God's help. Amen? We're not here to lend a helping hand to God. We are here. Now, catch this. Don't miss. All right, everyone look up quickly this evening. Don't miss this. We have the privilege to be soul winners. God doesn't need our help. We need His help. Soul winning is our opportunity to live by faith, to rely on the infinite resources of God, that He can miraculously use a sinner like me. That's living by faith. Amen? Some of us have just been drawing back from being a witness because we say, God can't use me. That's the opposite of the truth. Put no confidence in the flesh, but confidence in God. Roman numeral number 5, these are just some different thoughts. Avoiding bitterness. Bitterness You know, you can become bitter as a soul winner, as a witness, especially when people say nasty things to you, slam doors in your face. You can become bitter. Notice what Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We'll look at this verse in our Sunday school series in the weeks ahead, but the Bible says that bitterness affects others. It defiles others. If we go to witness to someone, or if we go door knocking, we've got bitterness in our heart towards people, towards those whom we're witnessing to, or those who we have witnessed to, people will see it. People will feel it in our speech. They'll sense it. And many times, sadly, we cannot be a faithful witness. Sometimes we're an angry witness. You know, we go out there and we say, hey, you're a sinner. You know, you're going to hell. You need to get saved. You know, do you want this invitation? And you know, we're not smiling anymore. We're angry. You know, we've become bitter. They're not going to take it anyway, so maybe I'll just, you know, do this. And you want it? You don't want it? Okay, have a good day. You know, we've got a bad attitude. We have to be careful about bitterness. You know, the Lord never said everyone will love us. Is that right? So therefore, we need to look diligently. What does that mean? We need to be careful with our attitudes and our expectations. Yes, we'll be rejected. Jesus Christ was rejected. People will reject us. It doesn't mean they won't get saved later on. Amen? If they get a bit stirred up, let them get stirred up and not you. Amen? We need to be careful about bitterness. You know, when you come to that place where you say, look, I don't deserve being treated this way. I'm going out of my way in my own time, sacrificing my time to be a witness, and this is what I get at the door. I don't deserve this. Well, that's where bitterness starts to grow. We need to realize it's our privilege to be a witness. God will give the increase. We just need to give the gospel. And the way people react, well, that's their choice. And doesn't mean they won't get saved. And we need to just be humble. Amen? We need the grace of God. When we're going out witnessing, we need to pray before we go. We need God's grace. We need to remember, how did He love us? That's how I'm to love others. Avoiding bitterness. All right, self-sacrifice. There in your notes, Roman numeral number 6. Three more points to go. Self-sacrifice. The Lord said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now the Lord isn't speaking about eternal life. He's not speaking about salvation. He's speaking about service. The cost of responsibility that the Lord gives us to be a witness is the cost of self-sacrifice. We need to be willing to lose all in order to gain all. Now that does not make sense, and it will not make sense to the flesh, but it makes sense to the Spirit. This is a spiritual truth. If we are to gain the spiritual joys in life, we have to be willing to lose all. Amen? We have to be willing to sacrifice. And sacrifice equals the word ouch. Isn't that true? Ouch! I don't want to lose this. I don't want to give this up. I don't want to miss out on this. But the Lord gives us a wonderful promise. If we're willing to take up the cross, blessings are ahead. Whosoever will hold on to those things that he doesn't want to let go will lose his life. You'll miss out on the good things the Lord has for us. Whosoever, the Bible says, will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In the end, the benefits of the Christian life outweigh the cost. Amen? Outweigh the cost. But soul winning takes sacrifice. Time, a sacrifice of pride, sacrifice of virtue, of energy. You know, you may not be running from door to door, but afterwards you're exhausted because there's it's a spiritual battle. You know, there's a lot of emotions involved there. There's a lot of grace needed. It's a spiritual warfare, and it will take virtue out of you. But that's a sacrifice. As we make that sacrifice, the Lord says that we will experience the true life He has for us. Now that's living by faith. Amen? Yep. That is living by faith. Believing His word and saying, okay. Now the good news is it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to die daily. We cannot die daily. The Bible says to die daily, but it's the Spirit of God that crucifies us. Amen? We just need to say, yes, Lord, and the Spirit of God goes to work in our life to help us to die daily to the unnecessary things, those things that are not of God, those worldly things, those objectives that are not of the Lord. And He helps us to die to self. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing to allow Him to do that? And by the way, as we go out into our community, our community needs the testimony of seeing, okay, there they are again. I met them last week and they're out again. Maybe they're going to the shops. Oh, there they are again. They're up the next street. I didn't discourage them with my swear words, you know? And they see a testimony of sacrifice. Oftentimes that speaks louder than our own words. Okay, potential persecution. That's your second last blank. The blank is persecution. Paul said to Timothy, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So there was Paul. We know that he was in prison and he said this statement of faith, but the word of God is not bound. When we as Christians are persecuted for our faith, we need to believe that that's not the end of the story. Amen. God is still at work. His word does not return void. Even if they slam the door in my face, God is still at work. I got their attention. Amen? Okay? That's sometimes this door slammed in our face is better than, oh, thanks very much. That's very kind of you. Well, if you'd have a look what's there in front of you, you know, have a read. And when people persecute us, let's be honest, it's not real persecution. What the believers in the past, Hebrews chapter 11, went through, that's real persecution. Being sawn asunder. Will we ever see those days? Well, we're not in them. We have freedom, liberty. We have legal freedom to go door to door at the moment. And any persecution we face is really discouragement. And the reality is, God is still at work. That's what we need to understand. When we go out, expect to be rejected by some. Not everyone will, but by some. Don't have your expectations that, well, you know, everyone's going to love me. You know, everyone's going to love me because I've got a nice smile and I'm really just here to give them an invitation. And look, I'm not the one that's rejected. No one ever rejects me. Well, then we're headed for a downfall, aren't we? See, these are all things that are preparation of the heart. If our heart's not prepared, we're in big trouble. And if our heart is right with God, then we're ready to go. Amen? Persecution will come. But Paul said, look, I'm in prison. I'm meant to be out preaching the gospel. Look what the Apostle Paul did when he was let loose in Athens. Amen? Wow. Look how God used Apostle Paul. And there he was in prison, chained down, in bonds, going nowhere, unable to get out. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? Even in this time of persecution, captivity, the word of God is not bound. And God was still using him. And that's an encouragement. Whatever we face, God is still at work. Lastly, prayer and the Holy Spirit. Prayer and the Holy Spirit. Again, this is the preparation of the heart, prerequisites for the soul winner. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As I conclude, let me say that, you know, one of the wrong, false misconceptions is that if I just have a little speech that I've got written down on a card and I memorize and I got that down and I've got that locked in and I know what to say at the door and I can use my personality in a positive way and if I can say the words right, I can win souls to Jesus Christ. But that's not true. That's not true. You know, a lot of people approach soul winning like a salesman would approach you selling something at the door. You know, if I can convince you to buy a product, if I can convince you to buy it, whether you want it or not, you'll buy it. And sometimes we do. Because their sales pitch is so convincing, well, we want it. It sounds good. Amen? We want it, and then we buy it, and we realize, I didn't need this after all. What a piece of junk. And to be honest, that's how a lot of people miss out on the gospel. There are sales people, soul winners out there, counting numbers and saying, oh, look how many people prayed a prayer and just followed my sales pitch. But the Bible says, if someone is not willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. If they do not really believe they need Jesus Christ, they won't be saved. No matter what they pray at the door. And as I've gone soul winning in the past and door knocking, I've met people who had prayed a prayer right in front of me, and I went back the next weekend and they said, no, I don't believe in Christ. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, I just enjoyed praying with you guys. And I was learning something too. I thought I had it down. I thought I had a way to witness that was working, and they missed the point. And so what we need to do is not rely on our tactics, our methods, our appearance and our charm, if you will, but we need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one that does the convicting. He is the one that works through us. That's how we live by faith as a witness. There in your notes, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with whom? The Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His power. We need to pray. We need to ask the Lord to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to ask the Lord to fill us as vessels meet for the Master's use. We need to pray and ask the Lord to give us strength and wisdom. He leads us into truth, the Spirit of God. He will bring things to mind. It doesn't mean we go out to the door unprepared, but we're not putting confidence in our flesh. We're putting our confidence in the Lord. So in summary, if our heart is right, we're ready to go. Amen? We're ready to go soul winning. So you don't need years of Bible college studies to be a witness, but we simply need to stay close to the Lord. Amen? Make the Lord our desire. And we know that none of us make Him our chief desire as we should, but even when we take steps in that direction, you'd be surprised what God desires to do in our life. Prerequisites for the soul winner. Let me encourage you to keep these notes and just ask the Lord, Lord, what area are you working on in my life? What do I need to surrender? What do I need to put down into my life to be a better and greater witness for you? A soldier is prepared, and we need to be prepared also.